In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Blessed fast to everybody. Blessed fast. It's like, what do I say? Blessed fast. Greetings to all of our visitors as well. It's good to see every one of you. You know, one of the things that astounded me when I became an Orthodox Christian was the richness of the faith. You know, we have in the Orthodox tradition, we have the Holy Scriptures as the footing of our faith, the expression of what we believe. Or as we say, tradition is scripture rightly interpreted. We have the divine services that breathe our faith. They speak of what we believe and how we believe it. And of course, we have the canons of the church as guides, as rules, as pillars. And then we have the church fathers as kind of the mind of the church. And then we have, in the Orthodox tradition, the lives of the saints, which are essentially a light that illumines our path. And so today we remember St. Mary of Egypt, a woman whose life seems so fascinating and so extraordinary. And it was Thursday night as we were going through the life of St. Mary. Every year I hear it. I've heard it 25 times, by the way. It's you pick up something new. And you'll notice that in this story of St. Mary, everything in her life was an extreme. Her sin was an extreme, you know. She didn't sin just a little bit, you know. She went full bore into this life of debauchery, right, and fleshly sensuality. But then we see an amazing thing that happened in her life, that even though her sin was at an extreme, so was her repentance. It matched it and exceeded it. Her extreme repentance matched and exceeded the sin that she had fallen into. And I wanted to note, too, I don't know if you've noticed this similarity here, but her life mirrors the life of the Israelites. They, too, came out of Egypt. St. Mary of Egypt, believe it or not, came out of Egypt, right? Just like the Israelites did. And while the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, she wandered for 47 years. And just as the Israelites crossed the River Jordan to enter the Holy Land, so did she cross the River Jordan. Similarities, I'm sure, are not a mistake. Now, the promised land for Mary was not some piece of land in the Middle East, which it's not for any of us. God didn't come to give us a piece of land. He gave us to usher us into his eternal kingdom. The promised land for Mary was the divine Eucharist offered to her by St. Zosimus. And you'll notice that only after receiving the most pure body and most precious blood of Christ was she able to finally end her wandering in the desert. She wandered for 47 years, living this completely opposite life of what she lived before, complete opposite. And then after she received the body and blood of Christ, she gave her confession, as we noted last night at the class. She gave her confession to St. Zosimus. She received the Eucharist, and then she died, and her wandering ended. Now, her life and the life of the Israelites, they are a light to us here today. They illumine our path. They show us where to go, how we ought to live. They give us examples of what can happen if we truly repent. It illumines our path as we approach Holy Week, the Lord's great and glorious Pascha. And I want to say this too about both the life of St. Mary, St. Zosimus, and all the other saints. They don't just illumine our path. They reveal to us that her path, their path, is our path. It's a great danger to look at the lives of saints and go, well, you know, St. Seraphim Sarov, great guy. It's awesome. You know, I got his MVP card at home, you know, traded it for a Jose Canseco. But they're not just calling us to show us how great people can be. They're telling us how great we can be. Everyone here is called to be a saint. And so as we read the story of life of St. Mary, it's showing us how we ought to live. We ought to be the ones that act like her. We are called to leave Egypt. And by the way, Egypt, for the Israelites, for St. Mary, and many times stands for, is basically Babylon. So Babylon has taken different forms in Scripture. It's power, money, secularism, it's politics, everyone's favorite. And it's sensuality, it's opulence. That's what Egypt represents. She was in Egypt, she was succumbed by all those things, and she left Egypt, went to Jerusalem, and then we know the rest of the story. But we too are called to leave that Egypt. If not physically, at least in our hearts, through detachment to the things of this world, to our job, to our money, to our sensuality, to getting the next fix on the internet or wherever we go, going to the restaurant, getting that next thing that makes me feel good so that I don't have to realize that I'm dying and that Jesus Christ has come to save me. I can save myself through the next plate of Lenten spaghetti instead of allowing myself to be hungry a little bit longer and remember that I am dying and only Christ can save me, not that delicious Lenten dish. We're called to leave Egypt and to enter into our own wilderness, to take up our cross, the cross that Christ has called us to take up, to be crucified on with him, and to cross the Jordan to the promised land given to us by Christ. We said yesterday at class about repentance that, you know, before Christ, there was no repentance. You know, you walked into the store of life and said, you can have anything you want as long as sin and death. And Christ comes along and says, no. Now you have an option. You can choose something other than sin and death. You know, you can choose life. You can choose holiness. You can choose eternity. This is a gift from God given to us by Christ to repent, to change, to leave Egypt, to go through the desert, and to be saved. There's another temptation to look at the life of Mary and say, man, she was pretty bad. I'm not that bad. I mean, I've done some bad stuff, but not like that. And even though we can say that and be somewhat accurate, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't read the life of St. Mary and say, well, I'm not as bad as her. It doesn't matter. Only one sin is all it takes. It's all it takes. Any sin is enough to kill us and to estrange us from the only true and living God. St. Mary reveals to us that we must respond to our sins with a greater fervor than they attack us. We must respond to our sins with a greater fervor than what they attack us with. If we're given into a sexual sin, we respond with radical chastity. If we're given into the sin of greed, we respond with relentless charity. If we're given into the sin of anxiety, we respond with intense faith and trust in God. And I got to tell you, I really didn't know if I was going to say this, but I'm going to do it. Do you remember that movie, The Untouchables, with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery? Great movie. Kind of violent. Don't let your kids watch it. But he said something, and I'm paraphrasing, and I only bring this up not to condone violence in any sort, but this is how we ought to respond to sin. He said something. If they bring clubs, we bring knives. If they bring knives, we bring guns. No matter what that sin does to you, you come back at it with greater intensity than it ever came to you. You see that in the life of St. Mary. She was completely succumbed to sin. She wouldn't even, I won't go into the details of it, but she wouldn't even charge. This is what she completely succumbed to it. And the only way to counteract it was to completely abandon it with the same intensity that it attacked her. We respond to our sin with greater desire than what it brings to us. We respond with a desire for it to let us go. We enter our desert with Christ, where we begin the true act of repentance. And again, we talked about this yesterday. Repentance is change. We change when we repent. It's not enough to feel bad, to go into your corner and say, God, I'm so sorry I did that thing. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. But I know you're God. You died on the cross. Therefore, I can go do it a million times. You don't repent if you don't change. You can't be saved. Repentance is important. It is the fact that you are not the same person tomorrow that you were today. And granted, not all of us are St. Mary or St. Paul. You know, we don't have these road to Damascus moments. Some of us, it's just a little bit every day for the rest of your life. A little bit of change. Just a little bit. We respond to our sinful life with radical and absolute life devoted to God. We decide. When you look at yourself and ask yourself, what do I look at my relationship with God, and there's a point in my life where I say, God, You are everything. You have given me everything. You've given me my existence. You've given me my free will. You've given me my breath. You've given me everything that I have. What do I have to offer you? All I have to offer him is my desire. My desire to love him and to chase after him. And it's in that moment we realize our own efforts are not enough to overcome sin. The only thing we can do on our own is go to hell. And you say, Father, you keep saying that because it's true. 10 years from now, oh my gosh, that's the 400th time you said that. We cannot will ourselves into the kingdom of God. We cannot build the road to the kingdom of God on our own. The work of salvation has always been a collaborative effort between God and us. Always. When we step up and decide to take on the lifelong task of repentance, to trade in our sin and death for holiness and life, the Holy Spirit comes to us and works with us, in us, and for us to enable us to do that which is impossible for us to do on our own. It is by the power, the grace of the Holy Spirit that our desire to live holy lives, to abandon sin, is by His power that we are transformed. And the grace of God will do it, my friends. He will do it. If you step up and offer your little two pennies, like the widows might, you offer your two pennies, the Lord will multiply it beyond imagination. Just like St. Mary. You know, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I've said this before, and I think it's probably one of the best analogies of the life of the saints. They both live with us and pray with us, but also it's like that, you know, those leaf guard gutter testimonials. I had it installed in 2 days. I haven't cleaned my gutters. It's a testimonial. It works. You know, leaf guard, maybe they don't, but the commercials say, you know, it works. Look at this testimonial. This person lost so many pounds on this weight loss program. Look at the lives of the saints. It works. It works. I'm not just up here blowing smoke. You know, this isn't some Tim Robbins, you know, live a better life seminar. Exactly. This is the Holy Spirit coming to abide in us and to transform us into holy temples of the living God. Take up your cross and follow Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to free us and lead us into eternal kingdom of God. And my friends, we have just a few weeks left in Great Lent. If you haven't fasted, fast a little bit. If you haven't increased your prayer, just try a little bit more. Like I said, repentance is just a little bit at a time for the rest of your life. You know? And when you look back 20, 30, 40 years, if God gives you that time, then you can see Him working in your life and see, look how He has transformed me. Look how the Holy Spirit has faithfully blessed my efforts and transformed me into the person that I am today. Like I said, we've only got a few weeks left. It's hard to believe, but guess what Saturday is? Lazarus Saturday. It's like when that comes, I'm like, holy, okay, wow. All right, we're doing this. We're doing it. And so take up your cross and follow Christ. And today in the church, I have a challenge for every one of you. Anyone's able to do this, you get 10 million imaginary points. Pay attention to Christ in the liturgy. Forget about everything else. Just pay attention to Christ. What is He doing in the liturgy, okay? And that'll be your first step in repentance and becoming more like St. Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.